The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Give them a call, say thank you, even if you don't want to buy any insurance. And it's now time to open the cover on the February 2022 edition of Our State, celebrating North Carolina. There is a picture of some ravioli on the front, and right above it, it says, "And the winner is pimento cheese ravioli." Probably not going in this northerner's belly, but it is the big winner in the annual Made in NC Awards. And I know how people in the South love pimento. So we'll read about them and the other winners after we do our pictorial, as we always do in the first reading. And we start our first reading with the From Elizabeth column, Finding a Calling. Our telephone, a beige Western Electric with a rotary dial, held a place of honor in our old house in Ashboro. Perched in a built-in phone nook in the hallway, it was hardwired into the wall and persuaded by that Bell Systems TV commercial to reach out and touch someone. I'd camp out in the hall after supper and call someone from school. I had my own personal address book, pink vinyl, with a Holly Hobby illustration on the cover. My grandmother had a metal flip-style directory with a slide that corresponded to the alphabet and a button that popped the cover open to the last name. I loved that thing. She used it for phone numbers, but also recorded details like birthdays and anniversaries in it. In our house, a shelf beneath the phone held the city phone book. Back then, aside from the Bible and maybe a set of World Book encyclopedias, I can't think of another book that was in every household besides a telephone directory. I called Ashboro's time and temperature line. I called the library's Dial a Story. When we moved to our new home near Farmer, I was allowed to pick out my own phone for my room. I chose a canary yellow trim line with push buttons. I stayed on that phone so much that I could even tap out songs. In case you've ever wondered, 1121 pound sign 6 plays Happy Birthday. The older I got, the more the phone became a lifeline. It was the first thing I packed when I went off to college. Calls from friends a bomb during the coldest winter at Appalachian State. Maybe you know that when I was hired at this magazine 25 years ago, my first job was to answer the telephone. Eventually, time and technology moved forward, and my phone usage diminished. I abandoned a landline for a cell phone years ago, voice communication largely replaced by emails and texts. Recently, I got a voicemail, a short 30-second message from a man named James McGee in Asheville. He called simply to say that he was enjoying the magazine. He did not ask for a return call, but I made one anyway. We talked for nearly 45 minutes, and the veneer of strangers fell away as he told me about growing up in the land of the sky, the place that he loved most until he discovered the southern part of heaven in 1948. Of course I knew what he meant, having heard that same endearment from my dad, and I laughed. And Mr. McGee kept the stories going as I listened, riveted. He recounted drives from Chapel Hill to Greensboro in his black Plymouth for dances at the WC, and he didn't say, but I could imagine the strains of Art Mooney looking over a four-leaf clover. He talked of stopping at Brady's on Durham Road for fried chicken and finishing pharmacy school at UNC and moving back to Asheville and buying Kenilworth Drugstore and marrying his sweetheart, Margot, a schoolteacher, 69 years ago on December 28th, the same day as her birthday, so that, as she told him, you'll never forget our anniversary. He told me that Margot died 2 years ago, and I heard the catch in his voice over the phone through the miles, across the radio waves, how much he misses her. All week, I've been replaying the conversation with Mr. McGee and how much I enjoyed it, an unexpected connection that reminded me of the gift of voices, the ones we all need, the ones that ease us through our times of silence. And now, as I do on the first reading every month, I would like to interpret, if you will, or audio describe would be the more correct term, the photo essay in the center of the issue of Our State magazine every month, for those of you who cannot see it or cannot see it well enough to fully enjoy it. This one is very colorful, at least on the first two pages. Even the word love that it starts with is in multiple colors. Love, where you live. Across North Carolina, expressions of love in red, pink, and rainbow, the colors of passion and unity, are everywhere. Written by Katie King. And you know what's on this cover, on both sides? Hot air balloons. Very, very colorful. You know, I knew there was a little voice behind this CD when I put it on here, but I like the song so much I'm going to let it play in the background anyway, and then the others on this CD by Ramsey Lewis Trio. I don't think have any voices in there. So the caption says, "Love is in the air. Asheville Balloon Company has seen its share of engagements, of course. But they also host weddings. Multiple balloons can be tethered together for an in-flight ceremony a mile above the Hominy Valley near Candler." Now, on the right-hand side, we see, I assume this is the inside. Yes, it would be the inside because I see ropes of a hot air balloon or looking up inside where the flame goes. And it is just a swirl of multiple circles of color. The dominant color is yellow, but then there are sections of blue and red, and then it starts with yellow again. So there's two yellows, a blue and a red, two more yellows, and the pattern repeats going out in wedges out of the center. And I would guess there are 20 or 25 different wedges. And the pattern, of course, is just slightly misaligned in each of them so that the color is spread evenly. Not evenly, it's spread unevenly all over the place. And, of course, viewed from the outside, here are three of these hot air balloons. They're all on the ground. The baskets are ready to lift somebody off. But they're all inflated and ready to go, and they're looking wonderful against the Carolina blue sky. From the heart, Red Donut Shop in Lexington. When brothers David and Sarah Vey decided to open a donut shop in Lexington in 2017, they wanted a name that reflected their beloved hometown. Their first storefront had housed a barbecue joint called the Red Pig during Prohibition, a history that's represented in both the name and the crimson wall at the back of the shop. Families fall in love with the Vey's cloud-like donuts that can be filled with custard, cream, or jelly on the spot. I get kids who come in here and ask for a hug, Sarah says. Life's a little bit easier when you provide sweets and a smile. And at 117 North Main Street in Lexington, reddonutshop.com. On the right, we see the front of the store, R-E-D, in guess what color letters against a white background, and a circle which says Fresh Made Daily Donut Shop. And here are the brothers of Asian descent standing in front of the door, holding open a box with a dozen filled donuts in it. Mm. And it must have been taken around Christmas time because the windows have snow-covered evergreens and some colored lights, and there's a reindeer with little colored lights in the antlers also. And it says, for David and Sarah Vey, Valentine's Day is one of their busiest of the year. Why buy a dozen roses when you can get a dozen heart donuts, David says. So I think they were thinking ahead from the Christmas season to Valentine's Day when they wrote that. And on the left-hand side, what do you know? Heart-shaped donuts covered in frosting, which is either brown or yellow or reddish pink. And on each one of the frostings are tiny, tiny little hearts in white, red, or pink. Of course, the red is a little different color than the reddish pink of the icing. All looks delicious. I've never seen a heart-shaped donut before. That must take some work. How about Puppy Love, North Carolina State University in Raleigh? On February 28, 1981, nearly 12,000 basketball fans witnessed the marriage of Mr. and Mrs. Wuff, North Carolina State University's mascots, in Reynolds Coliseum. The two had been known as Mr. and Mrs. for years, and during halftime of a game against Wake Forest University, they made it official. Mrs. Wuff walked down the aisles to a slow version of the NC State fight song, and in a ceremony consisting of few words and many hand or paw gestures, Wake Forest's Demon Deacon united the happy couple in Canis matrimonium. And here's a picture of the Mr. And on the left, the Mrs. She's wearing a dress that flares out over a ruffled red petticoat underneath. And she's on her tiptoes, hands over her head. And there's a black and white photo of the wedding back then. So we have some now students. It says, in 1981, Mr. and Mrs. Wuff, played by students Chris Belton and Susan C. Smith, were married by the Demon Deacon at Reynolds Coliseum. Mrs. Wuff often wears a ruby red ring as a symbol of their love. And we see the black and white photo, as I say, and probably more modern photos in the color. Roses are red. Wilson Rose Garden in Wilson. And pink and yellow and white. At the Wilson Rose Garden, nearly 1,200 roses in every color and more than 180 varieties are lovingly tended by a group of volunteers known as the Deadhead Society. The community has been involved in growing the garden since its beginning when the late Dr. Rufus Swain, who became enamored with roses after receiving some from a fellow teacher, planted bushes at the Wilson Public Library in 1992. Soon after, Wilson residents raised money to transform a former landfill on Herring Avenue into what is now one of the state's largest public rose gardens. The group planted the first 120 bushes donated by a local nursery. In 1995, from May to October, volunteers lead tours through 60 flower beds, past sculptures, a gazebo, a fountain, and rose-studded arbors and trellises. They're in Herring Avenue East in Wilson, wilsonrosegarden.org. And here we have on the right a statue of a young girl wearing a dress, and she's holding a flower in her hand. The flower doesn't have any color any more than she does, but we can tell that it's a flower with two leaves. And she's standing somewhat in front of an arbor, which is covered with green greenery. It's all out of focus, so can't quite tell what it is, but I do see some pink flowers there, no doubt roses. And on the left, in the fragrance garden, Wilson sculptor Sherrod Duggan stops to smell the grandifloras. And, his Child with Rose, which is what I was describing before. And I thought they were going to be describing the roses on this particular page, but they aren't. There's a whole bunch of them fully open on this page. Family Ties, Confection Connection in Greenville. Tim and Clarissa Woodlard's Bakery began not with cakes, as it now is known for, but with cookies, Clarissa's mother prized peanut butter chocolate chip recipe. At first, the plan was just to make cookies, but then Clarissa's mom taught her how to bake, and ice cakes and cupcakes, too. When the Woodlards opened a storefront, Clarissa created lunch and dinner menus, drawing on skills that she learned from Tim's mother, another excellent cook. That's where Confection Connection came from, Clarissa says. The connection with both families and what it means to gather together over the love of food. At their shop in Greenville, the Woodlards witness all kinds of connections, engagements, birthdays and baby showers, parents meeting the new boyfriend or girlfriend. In eastern North Carolina, people express their love with food, Tim says. If you love them, you feed them good. Red Banks Road in Greenville, confectionconnectionnc.com. There are some close-ups here of their wonderful work. Clarissa and Tim Woodlard serve their red velvet cake and around 25 other flavors by the hunk, a double slice that weighs about 1.25 pounds. Everything we do, we try to make it oversized so that you'll have to share it, Tim says. And here is a chunk. Man, that's a lot of white icing on there and some little sprinkles on top. And the frosted cake is very interesting. It's red at the bottom and white at the top, but it isn't a clear line. It just kind of folds into it. It fades from red to white, so it's a little pink in the middle and some lovely pink and red swirls all around the top where it's iced in white. A labor of love is Tryon Palace in New Bern. The Maud Moore Latham Garden is a tribute to one of the dreamers, five local women who helped bring Tryon Palace back to life. In 1944, Latham established a trust for the restoration of the colonial mansion and was later appointed chairwoman of the Tryon Palace Commission. She died in 1951, just a year before renovations began. A lifelong member of the Garden Club of North Carolina, Latham was memorialized in a formal garden at the palace where carefully planned paths wind through clipped hedges and beds of spring tulips, summer annuals, and fall chrysanthemums, planted each year by gardeners who share her passion for this place. South Front Street, New Bern, tryonpalace.org. On the left is a picture which actually spreads onto part of the right-hand page. It's a garden that has beautifully manicured shrubbery, and in the center of the shrubbery, they've planted some flowers. So it may be a circle, or it may be a square with pointed corners, or it may be an irregular shape, but the center is open, and we see red and white tulips in there. And there's a close-up of these red and white tulips on the right-hand page. It says the Latham Gardens' single late tulips, including red and white world expressions, pink mentons, and red king's bloods, come from Terracea Farms in Pentego. Fair Fleeting Bicentennial Garden in Greensboro. During the spring, flowering cherry trees at the Tanger Family Bicentennial Garden in Greensboro put on a spectacular show. Their pink petals open into delicate blooms for just 2 weeks before they wither and drift to the ground like snow. In Japan, where there are more than 200 native species, cherry blossoms are a symbol of the fleeting nature of life. During the 1,000-year-old tradition of Hanami, literally watching blossoms, people gather beneath the trees to eat and drink with friends and family in celebration of life, love, and living in the moment. Hobbs Road in Greensboro. Long website address, greensborobeautiful.org/gardens/Tanger. There's a little caption for the pictures here. Yoshino and Quazon cherry trees are springtime standouts among the flowers, trees, shrubs, and sculptures at the 7.5-acre Tanger Family Bicentennial Garden. So these Yoshinos are white with the yellow pistils in the center, and the Quazons are very, very light shade of pink. There's five of them here on one stem with some leaves behind, and they're wide open, and they have more white in the center as opposed to the yellow of the Yoshino on the other page. Long walks on the beach in Curay Beach, from sunrise to sunset and during starry nights in between. Beachgoers and anglers walk the 711 feet to the end of Curay Beach Pier. Since it was built in 1923, this pier, the oldest on the East Coast, has been destroyed and rebuilt again and again. Today, vacationers who visited the pier as children years ago share the experience with their own children and grandchildren. The wooden floorboards and rails may be newer, but the joys of walking out over the Atlantic are the same. Casting a line for flounder, bluefish, drum, and king mackerel, or gazing out at miles of ocean and an endless pink and purple horizon. They're on Facebook as Curay Beach Pier. We see the pier extending out on its high telephone pole, utility pole legs. You ramp up to it, and then it goes straight out, and they do have some lights along the way. They look like they might be solar-powered. Can't really tell from here. And then there's this extra space at the end for people to stand. On the left-hand side, sun rises and sunsets at the coast transform the Carolina blue sky into a multicolored masterpiece, best admired with toes in the sand or from Curay Beach Pier. This is a pretty picture of the water coming in late in the afternoon or early in the evening. The sun is gone. There's a beautiful sunset, which is a dark shade of pink down low, going to pinkish orange to yellow to pale blue as we go up. But what it's done is it left the water looking purple, and the sand reflecting the yellowish portion of the clouds up above. A point of pride, Rainbow Alley in Greensboro. With each step on this colorful walkway, the alley off of West Washington Street in downtown Greensboro grows a little brighter. In 2019, as part of an effort to put art in unexpected places, Downtown Greensboro, Inc. commissioned local painter Gina Franco to create a path that zigzags through what is now known as Rainbow Alley. The once dreary alley is now a popular photo op, along with dozens of other public art installations throughout the city, representing people from all walks of life. DowntownGreensboro.org. So, what we have here is a colorful zigzag path, and by zigzag, I mean it comes straight, and then all of a sudden it bends to the left, and then it bends a little to the right, and then it bends more, so it's kind of snake-like. And it looks like it's about 6 feet wide, well-worn, many colors, dark blue, turquoise, red, pink, purple, orange. And we have two little kids walking hand-in-hand over the pretty path. And in the back is a very old brick building. We just see the lower part of it. But you can tell from the brickwork on it, it has been there a long time. The caption says, 4-year-old Ari Hamelin and his 1.5-year-old sister Lucy walk hand in hand on the colorful path painted by Gina Franco in 2019. Here's a picture of Gina, covered in paint, I might add, when she was working on it. And the path was a little bit brighter than it is today because it's got a little wear on it. But it's still very nice looking. What a wonderful world, Moravian Falls. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, as Louis Armstrong sang, blend together in perfect harmony. They celebrate all forms of love and create something beautiful. The treasure at the end might not be a pot of gold, but it's equally as precious, a place where North Carolinians show their appreciation for their home and each other in countless ways. Whether they're baking and cooking, tending gardens with care, beautifying their hometowns, or sharing intimate or celebratory moments with friends and family, partners, and neighbors. You know what they're really saying, I love you. This is a nice pastoral scene, a beautiful green pasture fills the front part. The goats or other animals have not gotten to it yet. It still has some grass. It's about a foot long. Then we have a three-post and rail fence, and then another pasture on kind of a rolling hill, and that rolls into a lot of trees. Can't tell what kind they are. Everything is green on them. The front part of the trees is in shadow, and then there's a line that extends from the right-hand side, as far as we can see off onto the right, that demarks where a cloud is hiding the sun, and then it gets very bright on the other side. There's a little bit of wispiness from clouds very low, just above some of the clouds themselves, not the clouds, the trees themselves. And then in the background against the blue sky is a rainbow. Not a great rainbow, but definitely a rainbow that is quite continuous from one end to the other. And I think that might be the end of our pictorial. Let's see. We now have, how much time left do we have today? We just have a couple of minutes, so I won't get into the next article, but I will, since we're doing pictorials, I will go to the front of the magazine, and they have here a picture on two pages. It says the quiet sound, and that would be Albemarle Sound, deeply rooted in the city, that's S-I-T-T-Y, soil, beneath the Albemarle Sound, these towering bald cypresses are among the oldest known living species in North America. The ancient icons thrive in the swampy conditions created by the estuary and can grow up to 70 feet tall. Their vast canopies, with a nearly 25-foot reach, give nesting birds like Prothonotary warblers and gray egrets a place to call home. This looks like the water off of Edenton, North Carolina, or some other towns up in that area that I have seen. These trees have the wispy a fern hanging down from, I've forgotten at the moment what the name of that fern is, but it looks like hair all strung together and is hanging from the trees. And the roots are a mess because everything's in the water. But otherwise, it's a beautiful scene through the trees out into Albemarle Sound. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org, and on iTunes. If you have any comments or questions, please call the studios, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.